I'm still an alcoholic, and this is the Wednesday night Experience the Big Book. We, for the people who are new here, we tape the meetings. We have a website, Experience the Big Book, where I've covered the whole book, and it's experiencethebigbook.org. I'd just like to take a moment to thank God, myself, for the gifts he's given me to be able to do these meetings and work with people, and it's given me so much more than I've given back. And the birthdays today were really special. And tonight, for the new people, on Wednesday night, we started the book. We're on our 10th time through the Big Book. We started this meeting 10 years ago, last weekend of September. And we're on how it works at this meeting. We start with the cover, and we go through it. And on Wednesday night, on Saturday, we are on... What are we on Saturday? I missed last week. We're on working with others on Sunday night, and Saturday we are reading the foreword to the second edition, The History of AA. So if you come to the three meetings, you will go through the book, especially at this one on Wednesday night, because we're going to finish how it works, and then we're going to start on the third step and read the instructions and what the decision is and what the third step prayer, and then we're going to go through the fourth step. We have a lot of new people here. The fourth step is misunderstood. We'll see the simple directions in here, go through it in great detail, how to be free of resentments, fear, and not harm people anymore. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yes.
Good. All right, and tonight we are finishing the How It Works preamble. I call it the preamble, the first three pages. For the people who are new here, it's read at every meeting. It starts on page 58, so everybody thinks The program starts on page 58, but it starts on the cover. And a lot of work has to be done for the alcoholic to be able to read how it works. They have to understand their problem. They have to understand what's wrong with them. And since we have a lot of new people, I'll tell you what's wrong with... Well, I can't tell you everything that's wrong with me. My wife isn't here, and I'll miss some things. But that was funny, by the way. But what makes us an alcoholic and addicts, it's basically the same thing. What makes me an alcoholic is that if I put alcohol in my body, I have no control how much I drink. Anybody have that problem? And why can't I control how much I drink? Because I have an allergy to alcohol, and the allergy makes me crave a second drink. So if I don't put alcohol in my body, I won't crave it. A lot of people say they crave alcohol, but when you're sober, you don't crave alcohol. It's after you put it in your body. Now, if you cannot control how much you drink, anybody have that problem? Anybody have that? If that's your problem, I suggest you don't drink. It's a very simple program. Do not drink. It's bad. Now, everybody said that they're powerless over alcohol if they said they're an alcoholic. So why would we ever drink? What an insane thing to do, right? Well, we drink because we've lost the power to choose not to drink. Now, what does that mean in English? It means you're screwed if you're an alcoholic because you cannot control how much you drink and you cannot keep from drinking again. Did anybody prove that to themselves? Over and over. You wake up, I'm not going to drink. Anybody say that? And then you're in the liquor store. How the hell did that happen? It's because our mind's damaged. My mind is damaged, and sober, I cannot live sober without my mind telling me I need a drink. Even if the day's great, the day's bad, no matter what's happening, my mind will tell me I need a drink because I cannot live sober. Now, here's something you won't learn in Vallejo. The disease of alcoholism is when you're sober. It has nothing to do with alcohol. Alcohol is the solution that we use for our disease, and we name the disease after our solution. Now, here's a hint. It didn't work. It doesn't work. Now, it worked for a while, right? It made everything better. But then, towards the end, it stopped working for most of us. And then you start that downward cycle, right? You're drinking, you wake up, you're not going to drink, you're drinking an hour later. It's that downward spiral. Now, everybody here has had a gift. Because you're sober today. I hope so. And if you're sober today, you have that gift from God to see the truth at this moment. So now what are you going to do with it? And the reason why alcoholism occurs when you're sober, because we don't know how to live sober without drinking. Now, why is that? It's because we manage our lives. We have elected ourselves the manager of my universe, and we play God. Now, we don't know that, but we have been. Now, when I'm running the world, then it doesn't go well. And then I get irritable, and I don't feel good, and then guess what? I drink. So the disease of alcoholism is when you're sober, and you have to find a way to live where the solution, when you don't feel good, is not alcohol. The solution has to be God. And why? Because only God can keep me from taking the drink. Now, I know that, but that won't help me. I have to let God do that. And I have to learn how to live and learn steps so that when I'm sober and I don't feel good, I turn to God and not alcohol. And that's what the steps are all about. And so if you have this problem, it's called a spiritual disease. We're spiritually ill because we're separated from the power to live. And we're living on the wrong power. Now, if you're new, I suggest you go home and you write yourself a note. And you put your name and you say, I fire you from running my life. And then sign it. And permanently. Make it an unconditional firing. Do not rehire yourself. Now, having said that, we all do that. And we have to keep firing ourselves all the time. Now, how do you know when you're running the world? Chris said it, you don't feel good. Both Chris's said it. We don't feel good. How do you know when you're running the world? You're angry. Anybody get angry? Probably nobody in this room. That was the noon meeting. We get angry all the time. And we get angry because we're running the world. We don't like the way it is. Here's another thing we're really good at. Fear. Anybody get afraid here? Anybody afraid right now? If you're alcoholics, alcoholics are afraid all the time. In fact, we don't even realize it because it's the water we swim in. We're always afraid. You know why? We're running the world and we're worried it's not going to go right. Am I the only person that has that?
No.
And so we don't even realize that. We're afraid all the time. And then because we're afraid, we get angry. And so then drinking comes into the picture. You see how it works? And so unless we find a way to live and deal with our anger and our fear and the way we relate to people, we're screwed. We're not going to make it. So going to meetings is good. I think it's great. Go to a lot of meetings. But I strongly suggest you get in the book and you do these steps. Because we read tonight, it says, alcohol is cunning, baffling, powerful. It's in a bottle, for God's sakes. How can it have power over you? You guys look pretty smart. How can something in a bottle have power over you? Because it does it in your mind. And as long as you're running the world, it's going to have power over you. So it says, there's one who has all power, that one is God. And it says, may you find him now. Don't wait. How long can you stay sober without God directing your life and power? How long can you do that? Ask yourself that tonight. Because if you're an alcoholic, you don't want to take too long. And then we read the steps, and I went through, I think this is the fifth episode on these three pages. I went through steps 1-3 on the site experiencethebigbook.org. I'm going to post steps 3-9 tomorrow. And now I'm going to pick it up on step 10. So I hope for the new people, I've kind of showed you why we need to do this. How can I destroy my self-centeredness? I can't. The steps do it. The steps are a process where I learn how not to live self-centered. Now, it sounds hard to do, but it happens. Now, here's another thing if you're new. You may not like me talking. You might not like the book. You might not like the steps. You may think you don't need to do this. We don't care. AA doesn't care. AA only tells you that if you can't find a solution to your problem, and you're down and out, and you're beaten, we have a solution that works. And you have to decide if you want to try it. Now, what we will tell you is if you do it, it'll work. and then you tell us what happened. So I'm telling you, if you do this, it's going to work. And you may not like it. We don't care. You may not like all the steps. We don't care. But we tell you, do it. You see, and we don't tell you, you have to do it. You have to decide. And the people who do this are the people who have given up every other option. So if you're sitting here tonight, you got a plan. Fire it. Get rid of that plan. There's only one plan that's going to help you, and it's the plan in this book that I know of. Now, if you have a plan that works, good. Publish a book, write a book, and do that. But my experience is that we have to fire our plans. We have to give up on ourselves completely, 100%. All right, enough preaching. All right, now we're in step 10. Now, step 10 is where you learn how to live every day with yourself and the world so you don't screw it up and you don't have to drink. So it says, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So what they're telling is if you work steps 1 through 9, you've reached a point, if you're an alcoholic or addict and you're in a bad situation, where you can live each day and you can learn how to live without drinking. Is that a good plan? Does that make sense? Well, then you better do steps 1 through 9. And then when you get to step 10, you continue what you learned in steps 4 through 9. And you inventory your personal. What does that mean? You inventory your mind all day long. It's not pretty. And we look at our mind all day long, and we see when we're seeing things wrong. And we admit it to me. A lot of people think you just go around saying you're sorry all day long. Well, that can be true. But this is a step where I'm looking at my thinking all day long. I'm judging somebody. Anybody do that? Anybody judge anybody? Well, yeah, we're alcoholics. We're good at it. We're judging somebody. I'm wrong. I'm seeing them wrong. I have to stop, right? I'm afraid. I said, I'm wrong. I don't want to have fear. And I talk to God. I say, God, remove my fear. And you learn in steps 4 how to do that. God, I'm judging. I'm angry. Remove my anger. Help me see it differently. You learn that in step 4. You see, and you do it all day long. You watch for your self-centeredness. Now, how do you know when you need to take personal inventory? You don't feel good. You're bothered. Something's bothering you, irritating you. Well, then you're back in you. You've rehired yourself. So the first thing you need to do is fire yourself. I'm judging myself. I was judging somebody. I say, Michael, you're fired. And for me, it's very quick. I don't waste a lot of time. I just say, I'm wrong. God, help me see it differently. Now, in the first 30 or 60 days, I didn't know that. I didn't know how to do that. And so I'm telling you, this is what they're talking about. And you admit you're wrong to yourself. Now, wrong thinking, it doesn't mean you drove too fast. You went over the speed limit. It means you're seeing things wrong. Now, how do you know when you're seeing things wrong? Well, you learn that in the steps 1 through 9, but I'll give you a hint. If you see something that bothers you, you're seeing it wrong. It doesn't matter what's happening. If you're disturbed by anything, you're seeing it wrong. Now, how can that be? Because you don't have to be disturbed anymore. You can look at it and with God and say, what's happening? So I don't know about you, but I used to put a label on everything, good or bad. Anybody else do that? It's good or bad. Well, that's ridiculous. I don't know if it's good or bad. And so what I've learned in recovery is that when I see something or something happens, I just know it is. And I say, God, okay, this is the situation. How do I react to it? I go to God first. I say, this is how it is. How do I react differently than I used to? I hope this is making some sense. I'm trying to get to the basics. We have a lot of new people here. So step 10, you do every minute. Now, how do you know how well you're doing step 10? Well, in step 11, you inventory at night how you did. And you look at the day, and there's instructions. You ask yourself a bunch of questions. Where was I selfish, dishonest, resentful, or fearful? Was I thinking of myself all the time? Was I being helpful? What could I have done differently? You see, you ask yourself at night, and you look at how well you did during the day. And then you ask God's forgiveness and what you can do differently tomorrow. You see how it works? So 10 and 11 are combined. And 11 is where you look at the day at night. And in 11 also, you learn how to pray and ask God's power and direction in your life. And if you pray enough and then you work these steps, it becomes automatic. And so it says, sought through prayer and meditation. Now, meditation. Nobody picked up on that. I went to a meeting and somebody said, when do we get the medicines? I'm serious. Through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understood him. So what we're trying to do every day is stay in relationship with God. Now, what does conscious contact mean? It means, like some people have said, that I know that there's a power in me that's with me all the time that I can go to when I'm bothered. And I can go to that power and I don't have to go to alcohol anymore. I have a solution that's different than alcohol. And I know that. You know why I know it? Because it's worked. Because whenever I go to this power inside of me and I say, God, I'm full of fear here. God, remove my fear. It's not real, God. Take it away. It goes away. I say, God, I'm angry. I'm bothered. I say, God, save me from my anger. I've had a lot of bad situations in recovery. I had a son die 10 years ago last Friday. That was a hard day. And he died 10 years ago of drugs and alcohol. He was 22. He'd been in Vallejo. And I couldn't help him. When that happened, I knew immediately. When I got the call, I could see page 68 in the big book, and it says, if I stay close to God, I can handle calamity with serenity. I got through that. I didn't have to drink. I didn't think about drinking. I've had some tough situations, and I've just said, God, help me get through this. Show me what to do. And I'm not saying that things get good, everything works out perfectly. What I'm saying is I have a power to react to any situation. And I have people I sponsor, they're having tough things. What do I tell them? Put the coins in your pocket. You're going to court, take them with you. Hold the coins. God's always with you. You're never alone anymore. And so we learn how to react differently, and then we don't have to drink. Does this make sense?
Yes.
And so we want to improve our conscious contact with God. Now, what this tells me is to get conscious contact, I have to do the first 9 steps. Now, we don't read the promises at this meeting. I don't know why. I guess because I don't want to take the time. I'd rather do the lesson. That's probably why we don't read all the stuff. But the promises that are read at the meetings come true after you've in step 9. And it says, after the promises, it says you've entered the world of the Spirit. Now, what they mean in English is that you've entered the world with God and the world that's the real world, not the world you created. See, everybody in this room is new, has lived in this world their whole life that's not even real. It's a world you've created. All your resentments, all your fears, all your nonsense. And so now you enter the world of the Spirit. Now, the world of the Spirit is a good place because that's where God is. And that's where the power is to live. And then step 10 is how you stay in that world all day long. And step 11 is how you see how well you did. None of us do it perfectly. And then in step 11, you're praying and meditating on how you can stay connected to God during the day. That's really the deal. And you don't ask for a new car or anything. You just want to stay close to God. AA doesn't say your life's going to be great. It doesn't have to be bad at all, ever. You're the only one who says that. You have a power now, if you work the steps, that you can be okay with any situation. That's probably the greatest promise in the book. You don't have to be bothered and disturbed ever again. And you don't have to have a bad day. And then you want to know what his knowledge of his will is for you, and you want to have the power to carry that out. So you learn how to do that through working the steps. You're not going to know it in the first day. And nobody does it perfectly. But you're learning tools. Now, anybody ever try to exercise? The first time you start exercising, you're not very good. And I heard this from Jan, who's sitting back there years ago. And Jan sent me this thing about spiritual exercise. Well, when you start this, you're not in good shape. And you have to keep practicing it. If you want to run a marathon, you don't run it the first day, right? And so this is a practice of a way of life, these spiritual exercises, and you get better at it the longer you do it. Now, there's a problem with that, because if you stop doing them, you get out of shape and you fall back. So it's a continuous process of doing these spiritual exercises to stay in a fit condition. And the big book says on page 85, if I'm in a fit spiritual condition, alcohol has no power over me. Anybody think that's good?
Yes.
And you react differently if you're in fit spiritual condition. So the steps are how you get in a fit spiritual condition so you don't have to drink and you can react differently to the world. Okay. Then we're on step 12. It says, having had a spiritual awakening. Now, if you knew, what the hell is that? Sounds great, doesn't it? Well, what it really means in English is that I have been asleep to God my whole life. I have lived my whole life. I may talk and pray to God, but I've lived as if he doesn't exist. Am I the only one that's done this in the room? In fact, if people would take videos of my mind through the years, I would have been, should have been locked up. I mean, it's insane the things we think and do, but we don't even realize it. I was asleep to this power that's always been there. And all we do from the steps is I become awake that I have a power in me that I can go to. And this power can help me get undisturbed. He can remove my fear. He can keep me from being angry. And he can make me to be of service to others. And that power can make me be loving and kind and patient and tolerant instead of selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, and afraid. And that's what it means to having had a spiritual awakening. And the only way you get that is as a result of the steps. So it says, having had a spiritual awakening. The people who wrote this had this. Is the result of the steps. And spiritual, it's different than religious. We're not talking about a religion. There are no rules here. We're talking about you and your own relationship with your creator. And the big book tells you, for those who are new, that your creator is deep down inside of you. He's always been there. Why haven't we used the creator? We blocked him out. And so the steps are really how I unblock this power that I've always had to react differently. It says, we tried to carry this message to other alcoholics. So the only message I have for you is that if you do these steps, you will be awakened to a power to live and your life will change. Now, if you don't believe it, don't do it. But if you do it, you tell us. See, this book is a testimony. You don't have to like this book or believe it. We don't care. This is their testimony of what they did. And I can testify to you right now that I've done this and my life has changed. It's not perfect, I'm not perfect. But I have a power so that I can live in, of service and love, and I don't have to be disturbed and angry and afraid and harm people anymore. I can still do it, but if I do it, I've done it on my own. And it says, to practice these principles in all our affairs. So there's a warning here. You not only have to do this, but you have to continue to practice these principles. So what are the principles? The principles are the opposite of my character defects. Anybody here selfish? All right. So you want to be interested in others. Anybody ever dishonest? You want to be honest. Anybody afraid? You want to have courage. Anybody inconsiderate? You want to be considerate. Anybody intolerant? You want to be tolerant. Anybody here impatient? None here? Go to the food store behind some old lady who's got 80 coupons and you've got one thing and you want to check out. I shouldn't have said old because I'm getting old too. But you know, I would get impatient. You know why? Because I'm Michael the Magnificent and I shouldn't have to wait for anybody. Anybody else know that? I mean, I shouldn't have to wait in line. And even that, I'm a doctor and an alcoholic. So I mean, I'm really important. And so it's a horrible way to live. You know, you're just miserable all the time. And so the principles, the big book keeps it very simple. They ask you four or five questions all the time. Are you selfish? Are you inconsiderate? Are you fearful? Are you self-seeking? Are you afraid? So the principles are the opposite of that. Are you interested in others? Are you having courage? Are you being honest? Are you being considerate? Are you being tolerant? It's not that complicated. And I want to tell you, if you live with love, patience, kindness, and tolerance, and you be that, your actions will be better and your life will be different. and it'll be better because you'll react better. It doesn't mean you'll have more money or people do what you want. It has nothing to do with that. It's the way you see the world will be better. You'll be happy. You can be at peace. And it said, money of a slain, what an order, I can't go through with it. Now that doesn't mean that you shouldn't go through with it. A lot of people read that. Oh my, what an order, I can't go through with it. So they don't mean that. They say, don't be discouraged. They want you to go through it, but they don't want you to be feel like you have to be perfect. Now I hear people who are new and they get pissed off. And then they feel bad and like they failed the program. Listen, you don't become a saint in here. But you learn that you didn't feel good when you got pissed off. And you learn that you don't want to do that anymore. And so you're learning that you want to change and you talk to God and your sponsor. So it says, nobody's been perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. Are you willing to do that? Yes. Now, willing to grow means you're going to grow. You got to do this. And you've got to keep doing it. And it says the principle we have set down are guides to progress. And some people say, they like this, that we're not going to be perfect, right? And they talk about progress, not perfection. Well, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't progress. It just means you're never going to be perfect. And that's why we have steps 10 and 11, because all day long, we're going to make mistakes. And we're going to learn how to correct them with God's help. And it says we claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection, because being spiritually perfect would be God, and we're not going to become God. But we want to be close to God, so that's our spiritual progress. And we want access to God's power. And then our description of the alcoholic, the chapters of the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. So you've read the book, you've worked the steps one and two with your sponsor, you've read how it works, and you get to these three pertinent ideas. Pertinent means relevant or applicable. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our lives. So it was, am I an alcoholic? And then I explain what makes me an alcoholic. And everybody, before you say this, you need to know why you're an alcoholic. And the thing that remember about being an alcoholic or an addict is whatever you choose to take to change the way you see the world, you'll get addicted to. It can be alcohol, it can be drugs. And we want to change the way we see the world because we don't like it. Anybody had that problem? And so we learn, our minds learn what to do. And that makes us an alcoholic. And then because of that, we can't control how much we drink or use, and we get the obsession of the mind. And then it says, could not manage our own lives. Anybody understand that? Now, what does not managing your own life have to do with being powerless over alcohol? As long as I continue to manage my life and not work the steps, I have no power over alcohol. What does selfishness have to do with alcohol? As long as I say selfish and running my world, it's not going to go the way I want, and I will drink or use again. It's guaranteed. Now, it may take a long time, but it's going to happen. And then it says, could not manage our own lives, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. How do you get relieved of alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease of sobriety. And how do you get relieved of the bondage to yourself, bondage to your sinful nature? You get relieved by God could and would if he were sought. You see how it works? And then for people who are new, this book was really written on basic Christian principles. You may not like that, it doesn't matter, we don't care. Christian principles from the New Testament on how you relate to God. Now you don't have to believe in Jesus in the big book, it's God as you understand him. But the principles in the New Testament are good. And they're spiritual, and they put them in this book. God could and would if he were sought. Now, the people who wrote this book said they were recovered. And I used to say, I could say I'm recovered. And people say, well, he's so arrogant. How do you recover? But actually, what occurred to me today, there's always something new, and then I'll shut up. Recovered means that I was alcoholic. I'm not alcoholic today. I'm not in bondage to alcohol. Recovered means I'm trying not to manage my life today. Recovered means that I have been relieved of my alcoholism today with God. And recovered means that I'm seeking God. And so they said in the cover, it says the story of how 100 men and women recovered from alcoholism. So to be recovered, I have to have these ABCs come true. Does this make sense? But it's a fragile state. If I stop doing the work, then I won't be recovered. And I want to end with this. It says that good God could and would if he were sought. And they have this thing, first things first there. Anybody seen that? And that comes from Matthew 6:33, the Sermon on the Mount. And if you read the sixth chapter of Matthew tonight, you'll see it's the whole program. It tells you the whole program, how you should pray, how you should relate to God, how you find things. And it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And what the AA says, no matter what's going on in your life, you go to God first, and you seek God's power and God's direction, and then everything will come to you so you'll be able to live. So I hope this was helpful. Yeah. I talked too long, but we had a lot of new people here. And come next week, and we're going to start on step 3. Thank you.